How many of you have your Bibles with you? If you have your Bibles, put it up. You know what? There you go. If you got your cell phone, put it up. If you have a cell phone or a Bible, then nowadays it's all good. So this morning, what I want to do is really just have a Bible study with you guys. You know, I want to encourage you to follow me through the scriptures, and I want the Word of God to speak for itself so you can hear what God has to say to you. Sound cool? All right, awesome. Would you bow your heads as we pray? Oh, Father, Lord, I trust you at this moment, Lord, as I've trusted you in the past. Lord, you brought me out of drugs and all kind of sin and evil things, Lord, so I know you'll be with me right now. As I stand before your beautiful people, I pray, Lord, that I wouldn't dishonor your name, that I would give you glory. And I pray most importantly that the Spirit of truth would lead everyone here into all truth, and that there's nothing too hard for you, and you can make plain the Bible because you have the power to do so. And most importantly, Lord, you promised. So be with us, Lord, as we study in Jesus' name. Let everyone say, amen. Amen. Cool. Has anybody heard the story of the fall of Jerusalem? If you have, raise your hand. The fall of Jerusalem to the Roman Empire. It's one of the saddest stories that I've ever read. Now, I'm briefly going to explain to it. This is like the super fast version, but it's really sad. If you want to read it or find out about it, it's really written well in the book Great Controversy, chapter 1. First chapter, the fall of Jerusalem. Also, I kind of did some research on this historian named Josephus. He was alive during that time. It was a crazy time. I mean, it was the saddest story. The Jews were inside Jerusalem, and outside the city was the Roman army. You see, the Jews were rebellious. They killed some Romans. Romans got mad, and they came and sent like four legions, thousands of soldiers, to come put them in their place. And so the Jews are trapped in the city, and the Romans are attacking the city. What's going on inside the city is really crazy, because the Jews are fighting amongst themselves. Somebody from one group burnt the food supply from this other group, and so this other group got mad and burnt their food supply. Now guess what happens? Nobody has food. They're in a siege. They can't run out because the Roman army's out there. So everybody's starving to death. The Bible says, and historians said, that they started eating each other. They were eating babies. Mothers were eating their own babies. People were chewing on their belts, killing each other for little grains of rice. Some people got so desperate, they said, you know what, I'm getting out of here. They tried to escape the city, and guess what? Roman soldiers caught them. Do you think they just said, okay, we're going to let you go? No. They would crucify them. The historians say that if you looked outside of Jerusalem on that day, there were so many crosses that were outside Jerusalem. It looked like a forest. You know what they did? They actually mowed down a forest and made another forest of crosses. They say it was almost a million, thousands and thousands and thousands of crosses. Death on the outside, death on the inside, famine. It was madness. But do you know what the saddest part of this story is? When the Roman army broke through the wall, the people thought God was still with them. Do you know what was in Jerusalem that was really special at that time? I heard you. The temple. Close. The temple. I mean, the temple over there, it was gold on the outside. It was like one of the most beautiful structures in the whole world at that time. And they believed fully that God was in that temple. And it was like on an elevated plane, like up here, right? So they said, you know what? Yeah, they broke into the city. Let's meet at the temple. We're all going to gather there. Let's rally at the temple. And we're going to make our last stand. Kind of like the Alamo. You guys know what the Alamo is? And so they ran to the temple. And they believed that, you know what? If we're at the temple, God's right in the temple. He's going to show up as we're fighting the Romans, and we're going to win this mighty victory for God. So they all went to the temple with this hope in their heart. The Roman army, if you read the story, they were just barbaric. Even the leader of the Roman army said, my soldiers weren't normal soldiers. It seemed like they were possessed. They were killing women, children. They had no mercy. The Roman army started to close in and gather around everybody around the temple. It was like a noose around the neck, getting tighter and tighter. And the people kept fighting, but the people kept dying. And for the first time in years, something awful started to happen. Blood was being spilled all over the temple steps from innocent children, old, young, the priests. But the people still had hope. God is with me. God is going to come out and do his thing any moment. And then one of the Roman soldiers, against orders, took a firebrand and he threw it inside the temple. You know that fire did? The temple had wood inside. That thing caught a flame so quick. There's blood all over the place. People are screaming and dying. It's chaos. It's madness. And now the temple is burning down. Finally, this sad realization hit the people. And somebody cried out, Ichabod! Ichabod! It's a Hebrew name that means the glory is departed. The glory is departed. They finally realized that God was not in the temple, that God was not with them. And over 1 million people died that day. And anyone else that was left alive was taken captive. Horrible story. Almost they didn't want to share it with you. It's so sad. But do you know the thing that really caught me, besides all the horror and the chaos, was the fact that they really thought that God was with them when he wasn't. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go through that. I want to know that God is with me whenever I face trouble. How about you? Now let me tell you something, and I know my brothers already shared this. That story is just an example of what's going to happen very soon in these last days. You see, the Roman army surrounded Jerusalem. Now, in the Bible, the armies of Rome again will surround Jerusalem. Here's how. In Revelation chapter 13, the Bible talks about the papacy, the Roman Catholic Church. They're going to come together with the United States. Did you know the Pope's coming in September? September 25? They're going to come together, and then the Pope and the papacy is going to have an army when they pass the Sunday law. Did you know that? And guess what army they're going to have? They're going to have the best army in the world. The United States Army. The United States Army is a worldwide army. Did you know that? We have soldiers in every country. Even in Korea. My dad served in Korea for a year. Everywhere. And so when this happens, and it's right around the corner, I'm telling you, it's right around the corner, the papacy is going to have an army. And you know what they're going to do? Revelation 13 says they're going to make a law against Sabbath keepers and say, you know what? You got to keep Sunday or else. I don't want that time to come only to find out when it's too late that God is not with me. And I know you don't want the same. You want to know God is with you before the time of trouble occurs. Amen? There's an example of this. Now let's study. Let's go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. And I promise you, this is a message of hope. You're going to feel so sure and secure. By God's grace, by the time this message is done, you're going to know. You know what? I'm going to be sure. I'm not going to be deceived like those people thinking God's with me when he's not. Matthew 7. Could you guys do me a favor and say amen when you get there? Okay, thank you. Okay, Matthew 7. Jesus is speaking. I don't know if you're looking at it, but Matthew 7 is pretty much all red, right? Now, Jesus is talking about these end times, right? And notice what he says in verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. These people are preaching, they're casting out devils, they're doing miracles. Now notice what God says, Jesus says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Wait a minute. Do you mean to tell me, Lord, when I read that scripture, I said, God, do you mean to tell me that I can go to Sabbath school every Sabbath? I can go to a Korean camp meeting every time? I can go to church? I can turn off the TV when the sun sets? But when I get to this time of trouble, that I can be one of these people that say, Lord, Lord, and then you tell me, guess what? Yeah, you did all those things, but I never knew you. When I first gave my heart to the Lord, I read this scripture and I said, no, Lord, we got to get this straight right now. I don't want to be clueless. I don't want to go around preaching. These people were doing miracles. I don't want to preach. I don't want to go to Sabbath school. I don't want to do all these things if I don't have a sure confidence that you know me. I need to know, what does it take for me to not be clueless? Because you know what? These people are clueless. What happened at the temple? They were clueless. That is my biggest concern. And I know it's probably yours too. You want God to know you. Amen? So just look at verse 21. This is Bible study. Verse 21. There is so much hope in Jesus. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that, what everyone? What does it say? He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Wow. There's a contrast here. God is saying, what you need to do is become a doer of the word. That will get you in a safe place to make sure that I know you and you know me. And I know my brother's covered this. Go with me to James, the book of James. The book of James. Bear with me, it takes me a while to get there. James chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 22. James chapter 1 and verse 22. Are we there? Amen? Okay, cool. So the Bible says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers. Watch this. When you just hear the word and don't become a doer, watch what happens. And not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If you just come to church, Korean camp meeting, Sabbath school, and you hear some cool sermons that make you laugh, they make you cry, or they may bother you a little bit, but you hear the truth. And then you go home. And nothing changes whereby you're not walking according to what you heard. You know what the Bible says here? It says you end up deceiving yourself. That means you end up becoming deluded, thinking that everything's okay. But really, everything's not okay. I got a question because I asked the Lord. I said, wait a minute, Lord. Okay, there's people who come to church, and you know, when I was a youth too, I did the same thing. You know, when the sun was about to set, oh man, I can't stand the Sabbath, but I gotta turn on the TV. Or when you know sun sets at 7:59, you're doing the countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Yes, sunset's over. Yes, have fun. Let's go party. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. Technically, guess what? You're technically doing the word, right? You're turning off the TV before Sabbath. You're not turning it on until 7:59, you know? So you're technically doing the word. Is that what God wants? You think that's what he means? Because guess what? The other people in Matthew 7, they were preaching. They were casting out devils. They were doing miracles. And God said, I never knew you. Do you know what the difference is, what we need to do, and where we need to get? It's in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. And this is when I'm really happy to have a cell phone to look at these scriptures, because sometimes these little books are hard to find, you know. But 2 Thessalonians, and we're going to look at verse 10. Now, let me give you the background of this. 2 Thessalonians verse 10 is speaking of the last days. And I know you know by now we're living in the last days. Now, it's talking about what Satan wants to do. He wants to deceive you. He wants you to think like those Jews did. Everything's okay. Everything's all right. God is with me. But notice verse 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, this is the power of Satan, in them that perish, those who get deceived, they perish, and here's why. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They didn't love the truth. Therefore, they were deceived. Watch what happens in verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Now, when it says God shall send them, that means he allows Satan to delude them in this case, because Satan deceives them. God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. These people don't love the truth. Then all of a sudden, because they don't love the truth, a strong delusion comes upon them and they believe a lie. Do you know what the lie is? God is with us. He's going to be with us. He's going to fight for us in the time of trouble. God is going to protect me. He's going to bless me. No. No. That is the lie. And if you go back to Matthew 7, which we're not going to, the Bible says many, many, many will be deceived in this way. So now let's study a little more. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't want to be fooled. I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to be a puppet on the strings, like Satan got me at, like a puppeteer, where I'm thinking everything's okay when it's not. Lord, I want to know you. And God is saying right here, only those who love the truth. It's not enough just to say, oh, it's Sabbath, let me turn off the TV. No. God is saying it's deeper than that. You have to actually love the truth. Now, here's a tough question I asked the Lord. You know how I learned the Bible when I came off drugs? I couldn't barely read the King James. You know what I did? After the Lord saved me off drugs, I just started asking him questions. And I kept saying, you told me that the Holy Spirit is going to lead me into all truth. So please give me an answer. And you know what? He did. So I asked him, I said, okay, we got to love the truth. And then that's our protection from being blind. That's our protection from being clueless. That's our protection from not letting Satan deceive us. So my question was, Lord, I have two questions. Number one, what is truth? What is truth? I want to know what it is so I can love it. And number two, Lord, I'm going to keep it, and I keep it real with the Lord. I said, Lord, how can I love something that I don't even like? Let me answer the first question first. What is truth? That's what I asked the Lord. Because we got to know it, because we got to love it, so we can be saved. Amen? Elijah, you back there? You can put the circle up for me, man. There it is. That is the circle of truth. Now check this out. Everything that is in that circle is what the Bible says is truth. Now remember, Thessalonians, I want you to stay there. Just stay in Thessalonians, right? Thessalonians says, we got to love this truth, and that's our protection from not being deceived like the Jews. I need 3 volunteers just to read scripture for me. Can I get any brave souls? If not, I'll just read them all. Thank you, John. Thank you, sister. Okay, John 17:17, and then when you're done, go back to 2 Thessalonians. Psalms 119, 151. And I'll go to the last one because I think I kind of forgot where it was. But when you get it, John, would you stand up, read it loud and clear. John 17, 17. Remember, we're trying to find out what truth is because we got to love it. All right? Go ahead, brother. Amen. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God's word is truth. Right? That's truth. Thank you. Go ahead, sister. Psalms 119, 151. Wow. Yet you are near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Psalms 119, 151, that's for commandments. John 17, 17 is God's word. This is what we got to love so we won't be deluded. Now, the last one, you guys have heard of this one, I know. John 14, verse 6. And if you know it, say it with me. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, I put Jesus, go ahead, Elijah, put it up there. And the Spirit. Because guess what? The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. Do you know why I put Jesus and the Spirit? Because when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, and by the way, all three of these have to be in your heart. Psalms 119, I think it's 11, says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. The commandments, Jeremiah 31, 33 says, God says, I want to write my law in your heart. And guess where Jesus wants to reside? In your heart. And I put the Spirit up there because Jesus is in heaven right now. He's waiting to hear your prayers of confession. And he's waiting to send the Holy Spirit, his representative, into your heart. That's why I put it there. Does that make sense? So that answers question number one. What is the truth? This is the truth. Now, you can't just say, Jesus is the truth and that's it. No, because, we can spend all day on this. The commandments are the reflection of Jesus' character. Did you know that? It's his character. Jesus said he is the word. So you can't say, I'm just going to focus on Jesus and pray to him and not read the Bible. But he says, I am the word in John 1, verse 1. They all go together. This is what we must love. Then I ask the Lord this. Okay, Lord, we're in the end times. The mark of the beast, the Sunday law is coming. I don't want to be deceived or deluded to think that I'm going to be okay when I'm not. You just told me that what I need to do is love the truth, and then I will be okay. And it makes sense, because if you love Jesus, if you love his commandments, if you love his words, you're going to be all right. That circle is like the safe zone. That's the safe zone. I ask God, how do I love something that I don't even like? Can I keep it real with you? It was hard for me to wake up in the morning and read the Bible. Anybody read the book of Ezekiel before? Yeah. I didn't want to read the Bible. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to play Call of Duty. That's what I wanted to do. You think I wanted to turn off the TV on sunset when the playoffs was on? You can be in church, and if a playoff game is on, are you listening to the preacher, or is your mind thinking, man, I wonder what the score is? And back in my day, thank God, they didn't have cell phones where I can sneak in church and check the score. You guys got that now. Hello. But how can I love something? Because guess what? If I don't love it truly, I'm just those guys that in Matthew 7 that preach and do miracles and say, Lord, Lord. And God says, I never knew you. You never really loved the truth. I said, God, you got to do some major work in me. Because I love other things and I don't love the truth. The
Let's look at Thessalonians. Let's look at verse 10. You see the word love there in verse 10? They receive not the love of the truth. That word love in verse 10, do you guys see it? Do you know what that word means, actually? That word in the Greek is the word agape. Raise your hand if you heard of agape. I know you guys heard of agape. That word is agape. That means, agape is the highest form of love. I know you guys know that, right? Agape means self-sacrificing love. Agape means you love so hard you sacrifice all. Here's an example of agape. John 3:16. For God so agape the world. Same word. God so loved the world that he did what, everyone? He gave. Now, did he give some? Did he give a little? Or did God give all? He sacrificed all. For God so loved the world that he gave everything for you and I. That's what agape is. You know, my heart started to drop. I said, wait a minute, Lord. Are you telling me that I need to love the truth with agape love? That means I gotta love this so much I'm willing to give all, sacrifice all, just like you sacrificed all. Well, I know that's impossible with me. It's hard for me to sacrifice a little. You're telling me I need to sacrifice all. That's how you love the truth. Sacrifice the games. Sacrifice even maybe your friends. Sacrifice your music. Sacrifice all these things that I love. Oh, got a little discouraged, but the Lord encouraged me. And he said, you know what? Guess what? You on your own, you will never have this type of love. Agape love is not within us unless it's given to us from God. Agape love is supernatural. No human possesses agape love. We don't want to sacrifice. We want to take, gimme, 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 self, self, self. We don't want to give. It's not natural for the heart to do that. And so God just wants you to realize that. That you are helpless without his love. But guess what? You need this type of love in order to love his commandments. In order to love his word. In order to truly love Jesus. So here's the easy part. How do you get this agape love? So when God gives you this agape love, guess what it makes you want to do? Agape love makes you want to sacrifice. That's what God did. That's what his love does. Agape love makes you want to sacrifice, and it gives you a taste, a desire for righteousness. Does that make sense? So how do you get it? Guess what? All you have to do is ask. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Go with me to Romans 5:5. Romans 5:5. I should say there's two steps to getting this love. Number one is asking, but there is a second thing that you got to do after asking. It's so important that you fulfill both. You just ask God for this agape love. Are we there in Romans 5:5? And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love, and guess what that word is? This is agape love, self-sacrificing love. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by your pastor. Is that what it says? By your mom and dad. Is that what it says? No. The love of God, the agape love, is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. First thing we need to realize is that we can't generate a true love for his word. We can't generate a true love for his commandments or Jesus until we say, Lord, give me your agape love into my heart so I can love the things you love. That's the first step. You know what the second step is? You got to be willing and committed to make the sacrifice that God has given you the power to make. Let me give you an example. January 1st, 2011, it was New Year's Day. God just saved me from drugs and stuff in December. I was still smoking my cigarettes. January 1st, you know, I got up in the morning as a cigarette smoker would do. And I went and smoked my cigarette. And I was kind of upset with the Lord, you know, because I spent like 4 years on drugs, just straight gone. And so when the Lord delivered me and I felt like I just wasted 4 years of my life, even more than actually it was like 10. And I got mad with God because I just wanted things to happen. Lord, what should I do? Go to school, do what? Give me a job. I need this and I need that. And I was trying to make up for everything that I messed up for. But I got upset with God. And I smoked my cigarette and I went to the Lord in prayer, smelling like nicotine. And I said, Lord, I'm upset. But let me back up a little bit. When I got off drugs, I kept smoking. And you know what my mom told me? She said, Adam, what you need to do, son, is pray to the Lord before you light up. Pray to the Lord while you're smoking. And pray to the Lord after you're smoking for Him to give you the power, the agape love that makes you want to sacrifice to give that thing up. I said, are you serious? She said, yes. You know what? I listened. Father, help take this taste out of my mouth. And I'll smoke. Lord, help me. Took the cigarette out. And I would pray that prayer. Lord, and each time it was like a lifting 50-pound weight. You know, it's getting heavier and heavier. Lord, take this taste out of my mouth. Give me your power. January 1st, I did smoke a cigarette, but I'm telling you, it was a Sabbath day, Sabbath morning. I smoked that cigarette. I did feel a little guilty, but I was more upset over my life. And I prayed and I said, God, you need to help me and give me a job or tell me what to do and all this and that. And then I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to open this word and I'm going to get an answer from you because I need direction. And you know what I said to the Lord? I said, I'm going to open my Bible to the book of Ezekiel. Because I never read Ezekiel before, and I want to hear a new word. And I did. I went to Ezekiel chapter 20. The God we serve, He's really real. He's really merciful. And He really listens. He really listens. So I'm upset. I said, take me to Ezekiel 20. I went to Ezekiel 20. And like a magnet, my eyes were drawn to the middle of verse 3. Now, I'm going to speed up a little bit for sake of time. Right in the middle of verse 3, it says, thus saith the Lord God. Whenever I see that, I believe God is talking to me. And you should feel the same. Thus saith the Lord God, are ye come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. You don't know how small that made me feel. I was complaining to God, and God was like, wait a minute, are you talking to me? As I live, I'm not going to be talked to like that by you. I've never got a rebuke from the Lord like that before. But you know what it did? It got my attention. I said, wow, God seems like He's pretty upset with me. And I begin to read some more, and I'm not going to read it all, but He tells me in verse 5, He says, I took you out of Egypt. He was saying, Adam, I took you from the drugs. I took you from the world. But when you left Egypt, notice what I told you to do. Verse 7, then said I unto them, cast ye away every man the abomination of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. You know what God told me that day? He said, I saved you from drugs. I saved you from alcohol. I saved you from death. And when I saved you, I told you to leave all the idols of Egypt. And I knew exactly what He was talking about. He was talking about that pack of Newport cigarettes in my pocket. That's from the world. And he said, I told you to cast it away. And in my spirit, you know what he was saying? He says, Adam, don't come to me with no request until you do what I told you to say. I got up. I was pumped up now. I said, okay, Lord. All right. I prayed again for his power. Completely take away this thing from my life. Give me that self-sacrificing love to cut it out. You ask first. Secondly, you make it up in your mind and you follow through in faith. Remember, I kept asking him before. He was already giving me power, building me up to this moment to make the sacrifice. Because God says, you got to sacrifice all to love the truth. He gave me the truth in his word. And you know what I did? I said, okay, Lord, we're going to do this. Sabbath day. Took my cigarettes out, crushed them up, went outside. I mean, you know what? A cigarette smoker, you can't just crush them. You got to tear it to pieces. Because when the cravings come, you're going to want to go in the trash can and kind of put it back together. Get a little hit of something. I'm just telling you the truth. You had to tear it up into pieces. Throw your lighter away. And see, when God gives you the power, he expects you to move. Because guess what? He's not going to force you to cut out whatever he tells you to, whether it's music, whether it's certain friends, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is, rated R movies, whatever. He will give you the power, but then he expects you to move in faith. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, I had to throw the matches away. I had to throw the secret stash away. I had to stop hanging around people who smoke, and I had to buy me a pack of gum. Whenever I had the urges, I just chewing gum. Went to church that day, and I was kind of jittery, you know, because you don't smoke, you just go kind of crazy. Your nerves go crazy. I smoked for 12 years. A pack a day. First day, God got me through. After I eat, you really want to smoke. You know what I did? I picked up the word. And I started to read Ezekiel 20 out loud. And I said, God, you told me to go ahead and throw this away today. So by your power that you've given to me, I'm throwing it away. And I prayed that prayer for 3 days. And on the third day, a miracle happened. The power of the Lord was upon me, and the taste of cigarettes was totally gone. Never looked at it again. Never tasted a cigarette again. To this day, I'm disgusted by it. Watch this. I prayed for his agape love, because guess what? I love cigarettes. I love them. I didn't really love his word too much. But you know what God did through that experience? He says, I'm going to give you my word to give you the power to get off cigarettes. His agape love filled me with power, so much so that I was able to sacrifice that which I loved. And that same power that allowed me to sacrifice what I loved also inspired me to love which I used to hate. Do you get it? If there's something in your life that you know conflicts with the word of God, his commandments, or the character of Jesus, which is his commandments, if you know there's something but you love it, ask the Lord for his agape love so that you can make that sacrifice. And don't be discouraged. With me, it took a little, couple weeks, right, to finally get to that point. And I use the scripture, and I can't say it enough. You need to get a scripture. You have to. God will give you the scripture. Because guess what? As he gives you his agape love, and you make that sacrifice, in the same instant, you have now a desire for his word. Because guess what? I was like, wow, this thing really works. I was really able to overcome something I never thought I would. All because I asked and I stepped out in faith on his word. And so my appeal today is simple. If you know there's something in your life, I know I'm not the only one who struggles with things. You guys have a lot more struggles now. Because I know what it used to be a youth. You notice some things that don't agree with the Word of God, and you know if Jesus was sitting in the pew, which he is, he wouldn't be too happy with certain things that we're doing. And you love it, and it's okay because that's what we're born in sin. But if you're willing to ask God today, Lord, help me to love the things that you love and hate the things that you hate. That's my intention. If you're willing to say, Lord, help me to love the things that you love and hate the things that you hate, would you raise your hand? If you're willing to make that commitment. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your patience with us, Lord. We thank you so much, God, that you're willing and able to give us the power to overcome all our weaknesses. All we have to do, number one, Lord, is ask. And then number two, Lord, all we have to do is step out in faith according to your word, trusting and believing in you. It is my earnest prayer, Lord, that everyone under the sound of my voice would gather an experience of what it is to taste and see that the Lord is good. Father, they raise their hands. And even for those who didn't, continue to labor in love for them, that they would love your word, they would love your commandments, and Jesus, they would love you with all their hearts. In Jesus' name, let everyone say, Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.